Hey, it's low to no budget filmmaker Young Celluloid here to confirm on record that yes, a biopic is in the works starring Brendan Fraser and Michael Fassbender as Jake and Oz here in the damn woods.
Welcome to the Damn Woods Monday Media Podcast. It's your boys, Jake and Trev.
Yeah, Trevor. Whatever. Fuck. That asshole. Whatever works.
That's what people call
me. Some asshole that wears a hat that says movies on it. That's usually what I get called.
Do you actually have a movies hat?
I do.
Fantastic. I mean, you've no doubt seen our trademark video games hats.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good... what's the word?
Compliment.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Let's go with that.
So, hey, so just for anyone who isn't familiar, Trev is the director of, they call him Longshot. Is that right?
Yeah, they call him Longshot. The post-apocalyptic spaghetti western made for probably a budget under $500.
So, what possessed you to make a spaghetti western set in the post-apocalypse?
Well, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't just out of sheer boredom. I like making things, and after our first short film that we started off when we were like 18 or so, Stalwart Dosh, which is a train wreck that you can still find online on our YouTube channel. I wouldn't recommend it unless you were like baked or something, or baked drunk or both. But we just like creating stuff, you know. You guys know that.
Oh no,
you
that's
and,
rad.
You yeah. and Oz.
That's yeah. why we keep doing this. That and all the sweet podcast dollars.
Yes. That's t-shirt money. Now the t-shirt money.
That's actually pretty rad. So like this is it's a pretty watchable like indie film. It's like what, 20 minutes long, something like that?
Yeah, 20-25 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which I gotta say, I already thanked you guys last year when you covered this again, but it was just, that was huge for you guys to watch it and talk about it on the show.
I mean, it was funny.
Like, that keeps our, just the fact that someone, somewhere, mm-hmm. watches what we do, it's that, it adds that little extra motivation for us to keep going, and I think me and the guys really, really could have used that at that time, so it was good.
That's fucking rad. I'm glad that, you know, there was mutual gain came out of that, I guess. So, you got a new movie coming out, though. Like, those of you who pay attention to our Twitter might have heard a trailer with some familiar voices, who knows?
Oh, yeah, a couple of familiar voices, a tag team trailer mm-hmm. with your boys Jake and Oz. Yeah, so, it's in post-production right now, still. Still, it's a process. Shout out to my boys, Leisure Center. He's doing our music for us. He's a vaporwave artist that I found on SoundCloud. Get ready for some weird shit, dude. He's pretty cool. Like if you like mall wave, I guess you'd call it.
Jesus.
Like it's, you know, the vaporwave where they kind of mix mall tunes to sound like you're walking down a hallway.
Oh my god.
In the mall, you know
that's
what I mean?
Fucking, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I emailed this guy and I was like, hey, we're quote unquote filmmakers here and we're making a quote unquote movie and we need a soundtrack. Would you be down? And he was like, I've never done movie soundtracks before. And I was like, look, we barely know how to make films, so this is going to be a perfect friendship. And he's working hard.
That's
working
awesome.
Hard. And what he sent me so far, it sounds pretty dope. So I'm really excited to hear the full thing. Also, shout out to Mark Strait. He's a professional sound mixer that's actually doing our Foley work and
that's
sound
awesome.
Mixing
awesome.
For the film. So it's really cool that these guys are helping us out. So I really appreciate them.
Yeah, no shit. So, Lynn Truso is your new one, though.
Yes, Lynn Truso. It's an Italian title made to sound the film classier than it is.
That's extremely classy. I thought it was French. I mean, either way, it's European in that.
Yeah, it's one of those crazy languages across the bay.
Who even knows?
Yeah, it's Italian for the intruder.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to be, like, from what we've seen as far as your trailers have released, you've got, like, kind of odd, like, Cold War era fiction going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, the movie itself is inspired by the works, like the noir works and of the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
And a lot of those elements, and as well as like B science fiction movies.
Right.
And not to say I was going to compare it to Planet of the Apes.
You know,
Planet of the Apes is a big inspiration, but not to say it's a B movie by all means.
No.
But that, I mean, it's a great American classic.
It's total classic. But no, I got that vibe real hard from your astronaut character.
Sure. Oh yeah, for sure. The character of the astronaut is 100% Charlton Heston. Like I told I told Joe, the buddy of mine who's starring in it as Commander Joe Ford, the astronaut, I told him to channel the spirit of Heston and basically shout through your teeth. That's how you play a good spaceman character.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, fucking Jesus Christ. Some space germs might get in there. You never know.
Right, exactly.
That's fucking
with the torn suit.
Right.
Yeah, and then we designed the costume around Ashley Williams from Army of Darkness with the torn sleeve and everything.
That's tight.
So, yeah, I'm taking a lot of inspirations from my favorite films here and putting it into my own.
Nice.
And like I said, the works of like Orson Welles and a lot of The Third Man and a lot of Touch of Evil went into this.
That's fucking slick.
Especially into the shot design and stuff. So it's turning out to be something else.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it. 73 minutes long.
Jesus. Yeah, so you get like a full feature length movie out of this.
Oh, this is a full, yeah. Most of, yeah, full feature length. Our first feature film.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah.
I like how your influences like go strictly from like 70s, not quite B movie to the Army of Darkness back to movies that are arguably classics.
Right. Like Orson Welles, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like.
Unicron himself.
You're putting like Bruce Campbell and Orson Welles in the same category here,
I
wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way.
100% agreed. No, that's legit. So fucking how much, like, so what is, like, if you don't mind like disclosing, like how much is your budget for this one?
We haven't, like, obviously when going into these movies, it's not like a normal film production where studios give us.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have so much amount of money to spend. Basically,
right.
It's like we're just spending out of pocket, like when we need to.
Right.
Like for example,
gotcha.
Building the set in my buddy's shed, which
nice.
I have a good story about that set. But we're building the set, and basically we just go to the store, get what we need. The camera alone, going back to Long Shot, we shot Long Shot on a 2007 Sony camcorder that's still shot on mini DV tapes.
Oh, damn. Throwback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why when you watch Long Shot, you can kind of see the video distortion in the movie itself. It's because we shot it on tape, and which was about four or five tapes total for
damn.
Long Shot. Yeah. So we stepped up. I took all my good half of my summer earnings from last year and bought a good HD digital camcorder. So we're at least into the 2012-2013 time frame for
direct
the camera
to flash
the
memory
on.
Stage.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Look
you got,
out.
You know, shooting on that memory card. So it's real something else here.
Yeah.
We're in the future.
Yeah. No.
In the future.
None of these mini DV tapes anymore. Man.
Oh no, throw those out.
there are a lot of fucking like college era crimes that are on mini DV tapes somewhere that need to go away.
growing up in a household where my father is a professional videographer, we have so many mini DV tapes just all around our house, and even in my room at this point, they're just scattered everywhere. I don't know what's entirely on them, but they're everywhere.
That's nuts.
But yeah, the budget, so the camera itself is about $1,500. So if I were to make this movie sound really good, I'd say the budget's already $1,500 for that
that's
alone.
That's high class. I mean, that's,
I'd say we spent about $2,000 maybe.
Not bad.
$2,000 movie.
It's, you know, fuck it, man.
you know, it's no The Mummy, but no. It's definitely
I mean, really, Tom Cruise is The Mummy, or the seminal classic Brendan Fraser is The Mummy.
Right, yeah. Ignoring the original Universal classics to go right to the Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider those classics.
We're talking about Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
The man.
The man, legend.
I got to call him up, by the way. Maybe I can get him for my next piece.
You probably could. He probably works for less than scale.
Less than what I pay my guys.
Right. Fucking, I mean, after this Tom Cruise movie, it's got to be like, Brendan Fraser's like, I'm back.
Yeah, he's probably back on the market. He's probably back to his normal budget at this point. I missed my chance. I was supposed to buy low and sell high, but now he's bidding's up, and now I can't get him now.
Nope. You know they're making an entire, like, universe out of those movies?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Have you seen the trailer, the official trailer that mm-hmm. Universal actually put out?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like the original black and white clips, but it's set to, like, action movie music?
Yeah, I was furious the entire time.
It's laughable.
It's such a bad idea. Like, I mean,
it's making us look good, though.
Oh shit, there you go.
Like, in independent cinema, it seems to be on the up and up, which is good.
I mean, you figure, so at least we can take, like, a list of, like, oh, Orson Welles was the inspiration for this independent movie, whereas, like, it was like a boardroom full of jags was like, what if we made our own Marvel Cinematic Universe with properties we have? And then they were like, what do we have?
That's all it is now. Mummy. It's like, I feel like movies and cinema has lost its heart.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Sure. Like, it used to be, it, I mean, not all across the board, because of course, like mm-hmm. I said, independent cinema is definitely on the up and up now.
Sure.
But the only reason it can even be on the up and up is because mainstream cinema has just, like, shit all over everything.
Right.
And so you find this, like, one gem in there, and you're like, man, these guys are, they're pretty decent, you know. Whoa, oh, what was this made for, like, $3 million? That's real low, because
right.
average movies now are like $7 billion or whatever, mm-hmm. you know,
the GDP of a small country.
Exactly. It's our national debt is like the next Avengers movie,
right? One, I mean, yeah, that's how they financed it, I heard. So
I mean, that's why our country's in debt. It's going straight to Marvel,
straight to the Avengers.
Forget about ending the Fed. We have to pay Stan Lee directly, you know.
Now that he's got an official character, yeah, fuck. Jesus, everything's ruined. Damn it, Stan Lee, you monster.
He's behind it all. He's the puppet master.
It's years, no one saw it. That's why Sam Raimi got out of Spider-Man. Not because his movies are bad, because
yeah. Okay, look,
he couldn't take Stan Lee anymore.
I got a bone to pick with you and Oz.
Oh man,
because
I mean, Oz
I'm
likes
tired
those
of,
movies.
Oh, all right, maybe not. Let's scratch him off then. Yeah, okay, it's just you. Then I'm gonna fight you right now then, because I'm a big fan of Sam Raimi, and
I love Sam Raimi.
I gotta say, everything he touches is gold. He makes no mistakes, and he's a perfect man. He's beautiful. Even his Spider-Man movies, because look, the third one, I don't think that was his fault.
I mean,
I
no,
like the
he
third
had
movie,
Topher Grace.
The third
in
movie
it.
Definitely. Oh yeah, the third movie definitely fell apart because of, like, studio intervention.
Is that, but was that second, what that was?
That's, I'm banking on it.
Okay.
You know, if I was talking to him right now, I bet he would say the same.
I bet he would too.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2 is a masterpiece, though.
What?
Doc Ock.
I mean, no,
oh,
we
for
no
sure.
One thinks Doc Ock was bad. Just the rest of that movie.
Oh no, I would rank it Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man 3.
Honestly, of those three, that's a pretty fair rank. I wouldn't disagree with it for the most part. With the exception of Willem Dafoe being pretty much the greatest crazy person in a movie ever. Though
I mean, he's, if you're going to cast Willem Dafoe, it can't be as a sane guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. God, no. He can't play sane. Like, the most sane role he's had in a while was in John fucking Wick, and he was an assassin.
I was going to say Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay.
Where he plays the literal, like, crazy hitman.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Who chops off Jeff Goldblum's fingers in a door.
What
and
a
then
fucking
keeps the
movie.
Fingers.
What
that's a, just like his everyday life.
That's just, they're just filming Willem Dafoe and Goldblum.
Yeah. He didn't know the cameras were on.
Right.
Jeff Goldblum is severely wounded after shooting with Wes Anderson.
He's fine. He's got prosthetics. No one cares. It's Jeff Goldblum. He's too pretty.
It's true.
Fucking
another perfect the golden god, perfect man, Jeff Goldblum.
I mean, to be honest, like, let's be real. Jeff Goldblum can pretty much do no wrong in movies. Like, if he's in a movie, I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, for sure. Like, I heard he was in the new Thor movie. Uh-huh. I was completely uninterested in anything. See, after like watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
sure.
Like, I love that, by the way. That was fantastic.
Heard nothing
I love
but good things.
James Gunn and whatnot. But I'm pretty much burnt out of superhero movies.
Yeah.
So,
because there've been a million.
Right. Yeah. I was planning on seeing Guardians 2.
Right.
And I was like, because I wanted to see this. I love the first one. I'm supporting James Gunn because I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to anymore. You know, I'm not giving Marvel anymore my hard earned cash. But then I heard Goldblum.
Yeah. Well,
in Thor 3. So, you know, I'm already signed up. Also, isn't Taika Waititi directing Thor 3,
I believe? I do not know. I know Goldblum's in it, and I know they're cribbing half the story from Planet Hulk. So I was like, well, I gotta see this.
Oh, I'm not familiar with, like, the comic books and whatnot.
Oh, Planet Hulk is a fun story.
I just like the pictures on my screen.
That's fair. Planet Hulk is a story about the Hulk being tricked into exile in space by the Avengers.
Didn't that happen in the last Avengers movie? Or something?
No, not yet. They have. I don't know how they're going to justify it. They probably.
He just got like mad, and then just was like.
No, he got mad and left.
That's what I remember. So I was like, did they change that? Because I thought he was just upset.
No.
And then he just kind of like.
This
angsty
is,
so, spaceship.
I don't know how they're going to justify it with this, but like, we're talking, like he goes, he loses his mind a little bit and tears apart Vegas. And then they're like, okay, well, the Hulk has gone fucking crazy. So they get him to calm down. He's in Banner form. And they're like, hey, we need you to fix something on the fucking moon, my dude. And he's like, rad. And they're like, fuck you, idiot. Space. They're trying to send him to like an unpopulated planet. He ends up on this planet with like a culture that is run by like pseudo Roman slave warrior type people. So he ends up in a arena as a pit slave. And so I'm trying to think. In Planet Hulk, he fights Silver Surfer, not Thor. But, you know, they don't care. Either way.
Yeah, no one cares about Silver Surfer.
No, he's Fox-owned. Fuck him.
oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Because he's in Fantastic Four, isn't he?
Right, he's in Rise, which was... Whew. So anyway,
right.
Regardless... That was like
I
a fun
skipped
play.
Out on all those
oh, you,
all those Fantastic Four movies.
You missed nothing.
I was like, yeah, I know, that's exactly.
I mean, like
that was not a regrettable decision at all.
That was like the first movie we pirated to watch, I think, for the show. Because we were just like, it was still in the theaters.
I'm pretty sure they were encouraging that. They were encouraging piracy of that movie.
They had to.
They just,
no one was seeing it.
They were
it.
Like, yeah, someone please watch it. Any means necessary.
These numbers totally count. Oh, no. So, but either way, though. Comic movies are going to happen for a while. I mean, they're not going away. They're the new thing. You know what I mean? They're the thing that is like the moneymaker for Disney and sometimes Warner Brothers.
Oh, for sure, dude. Comic book, they're slated for the next, what, like 25 years?
Something like
that. I'm gonna be taking my kids to see Avengers 60, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And Robert
like,
Downey Jr.'s
for that.
Fucking like disembodied head is gonna be floating around the fucking movie.
They're gonna just edit him in. Like that that scene from The Simpsons where Milhouse is cast as the sidekick to Radioactive Man.
Right.
And then he like quits halfway through the movie, and the editor is like, "Don't worry, using modern editing techniques, we can just put him in wherever we want." And it's like poorly cut in, spliced in. That's what they're gonna do with Robert Downey Jr.
Yep. The scenes from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, just like why he looks like he's in his 40s here, but it's been 40 years since he's been in his 40s. What's going on?
The Disney Marvel LucasArts cinematic empire.
Well, you know they gotta have, like, green screen recordings of Stan Lee on file.
Oh, because they the have man's to.
Like 106.
Yeah, no, he's 1,000 years old. Like,
yeah,
like the fact that like he, honestly, like 2016 was like doing its work, killing celebrities, and it was just like
he might be already dead, but we have no idea.
We'll never know because he's going to be in the movies for the next 30 fucking years.
They probably called him in one day and just set him up in front of a green screen and just gave him
lines.
Just lines or scenarios, and we're like, okay, now you're in a record store, you know. pretend you're looking through records, and then he's just like miming it out, and they CG everything in.
Yep, that's it. That's the real conspiracy here. Is that how long will Stan Lee continue going on post fucking death?
Yeah,
post Jesus death. Christ, that's horrifying. But yeah, no, I'm surprised he didn't die. Like, I'm surprised he's not dead. Like I mean, legitimately.
Yeah, just statistically, how is he still alive?
Right.
Is that bad to say?
I mean, it's a fucking, the dude's 1,000. Everyone, I mean, exactly. Like, no one knows. Like, you know, like, a lot of old people are dying because that's how it works. You get old, you die for the moment until technology fixes that with, you know, lasers and violence. But fucking, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, as long as they keep making the movies, he'll probably keep trucking for at least a while.
Are you saying Stan Lee invented transhumanism?
Potentially. That or there's some kind of weird Dorian Gray situation going on.
And he drew himself in a comic book when he was younger.
And he just can't die. He can't die.
On some like magical witchcraft paper.
God. And he's going to die next week when this episode airs.
Oh, God, it's going to be bad. It's going to be super awkward. Oh,
Christ.
All the hate. All the hate all towards the damn woods.
Yeah, just fucking predicting Stanley's death.
All those views. Dude, you're going to check the views, and you're going to be like, oh, why is this episode of so many views?
What
and then you're
going to
be like, oh, it's because we talked about Stan Lee dying, and now everyone's shitting on us.
Everyone's furious. Yeah. We're the harbingers of death. Either
so
way.
So if Stan Lee dies next week.
Yeah, no. Not our
my
fault.
My buddy Kyle owes me $10.
Jeez, nice. At least he got
record,
that
because I know he's listening. So if Stan Lee dies when this is out, Kyle, you owe me $10.
I like it. That's a solid as like on air plugs have gone. That's a good one. So you hinted at a story earlier.
Yeah,
about a
I
set.
Did. When we were building the set for the spaceship. So the initial scene in L'Intruso is it starts off in the interior of Commander Joe Ford's spaceship called the Jove 3. And it's probably the most intricate set that we ever built. As you remember in Longshot, we built that bar set out in the swamp.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, out of like scrap wood that we took from a... electric and building supply place. So this one, we actually had to purchase the material. We went to Home Depot and we bought styrofoam insulation boards, like 6 foot, yeah, probably 6 foot tall, like thin styrofoam insulation boards. And we bought a lot of them and we duct taped them together and were able to build a white interior cockpit of this spaceship. And we cut out the middle green screen, the works, actually, with a friend of mine, an actor, Kyle, we worked at an amusement park for 2 summers, and we got them to give us old ride parts, actually. So I asked my bosses, I was like, you got any, you know, parts from, like, the 70s that you're just going to junk? And he's like, yeah, we have an entire third floor of stuff like that. So Kyle and I went up to the top of this big warehouse, and we just shoveled old like mechanical parts into a box and we built a set out of this. And we built a pretty damn good looking spaceship, if I do say so myself. Anyway, so it's in my buddy's shed. That's our soundstage for this spaceship set. And we spent about probably a good month building this, and we start filming and everything like that. And the first scene, the rundown of this introductory scene is basically, it lets you know, it establishes the character of Commander Ford, as well as how Commander Ford went from space to Earth. So his spaceship crashes and lands on Earth. In the ocean, in a small beach town.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see his spaceship crash. And so there's a lot of pyrotechnics involved in making a spaceship crash.
Oh, I'd imagine.
As you might imagine. Exactly, yeah. So what we had was fireworks and sparklers left over from the 4th of July.
Oh, my God.
That my buddy just happened to have.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a lot of sparklers and fireworks. We're using them for the spaceship crashing scene. And he said, that sounds fine. Just open the door so you guys don't die in the shed from, like, smoke fumes. You know what I mean? And I was like, eh, sure. Yeah, we'll keep the door open.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't keep the door open because it's like summer, fall time. The crickets are out. They're really loud. The cicadas and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. That's not a space noise.
No, they fuck with the audio, dude. Yeah. You can't do that.
No, I understand.
So we close the door.
Yeah,
naturally.
Obviously.
And so the buddy whose shed this was in his backyard, which we were filming, he was not home this night. I told him, I said, hey, can we film in your shed tonight? He said, no, I'm at, he said, yeah, that's fine. I'm at work though. who's gonna be there? And I said, just me and Joe, the actor in the scene. It's just gonna be me and him on set. We're just going to take like an hour, 2 hours to shoot this final sequence. We've been shooting this scene all month. Like, we've been building the set, shooting this scene, finally almost done with it. This is like the longest we've ever taken on a single scene. And we're finally almost done. I said, it's just the final scene. We're just going to light some sparklers and we'll call it a night. And he said, cool. Just don't burn the place down. And we're like, oh, good. Yeah, no, it'll be fine. So we started up. We start rolling. We put sparklers around. We, like, carefully place them where I want sparks to fly up as soon as I say action. And my buddy, the actor, he does the old, like, the classic Star Trek, you know? Like, when, you know, have you ever seen, like, behind the scenes of Star Trek where they're all just, like, shaking?
Right.
You know, it looks real weird, and, like, the camera movement's added later.
Yes.
So that's what he's doing. So I yell action, and he starts lighting all the sparklers. I start lighting the sparklers. I run back behind the camera. He gets in character just immediately. And just goes at it, and like, we get run done, and we're like, okay, something didn't go right. He pulled a lever, and the action the scene didn't look good to me, so I said, we gotta do it again. So we take all the sparklers off, put new sparklers in, light it again. This time everything goes smoothly, and he falls in his chair and does this amazing stunt, which, ugh, God bless this guy, dude. He does this amazing stunt and falls on his face for the movie.
Oh.
on this wood floor. And I'm like, oh, that looked great. Oh, the sparks flying everywhere. There's smoke. This looks awesome. Like, the lighting is perfect. It's, like, dramatic. He's shaking. He did this great stunt. I help him up. We high five. We look down. The styrofoam wall has caught on fire from the sparklers. Turns out styrofoam is highly flammable.
Yeah.
Now the only thing that we had to put out the fire were the tall boys of natural light that we had been drinking that night.
What the fuck?
So we get like half finished beers and we start pouring them on our set to put the fire out. At this point, the lights of the set are illuminating the smoke that's coming out of our friend's shed and into his neighbor's yard. And inside, we're like pulling camera gear out, putting lights out, and pouring beer all over the shed to put the fire out before it spreads too far the other, like, styrofoam walls. Just,
oh my God,
it was
God.
Fantastic.
That's wonderful. The natty lights.
The shot looked good.
Oh yeah, as long as the shot looks good. Christ, yeah. Obviously. That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
Which reminds me of a joke.
Mm.
What is a cinematographer's favorite beer?
I don't know.
Natural Light.
I hate you so much. That's, oh my God. Oh. It's rough. All right. Well, on that note, we'll continue on. Let's get back to Longshot a little bit. Like,
yeah, sure.
What influences did you take from, or what influenced you to make that, I guess, besides the urge to create, which we all understand? Like, what movies, well, I guess?
I'll say the obvious. Sergio Leone is probably one of my favorite filmmakers of all time.
Sure.
He's easily in my top three. Easily. Yeah. Leone, Corbucci, which is discount Leone. I don't know if you know the story about Navajo Joe.
I don't.
Have you heard of Navajo Joe?
I have not.
The Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds plays a Native American Indian, which... Right off the bat, God. That sold me immediately.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, you know.
Oh, you know, for sure. Burt Reynolds in, I want to say, like, maybe the late 60s, early 70s, was contacted by his agent and said, Sergio, I think it was late, or early 70s, so he said, Sergio Corbucci wants you in a Western. And Burt Reynolds says, oh, man, I love The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Like, that's fantastic. It's a masterpiece. Yeah, sign me up. Let's fly over to Italy, Spain. Let's shoot this thing. Turns out, that's Sergio Leone. Sergio Leone directed the Fistful Clint Eastwood series.
Right, that trilogy.
Sergio Corbucci is not that man.
No.
He's a different Italian gentleman that makes very, very, very different Westerns.
It's amazing. This is like the most Burt Reynolds story, though.
So,
Sergio, what's his name?
Yeah, Sergio, they're all the same. All the Italians look alike Burt Reynolds, you know? So Bert flies to Italy and he shoots this terrible movie where he very inappropriately plays a Native American.
Right.
Like they red face him.
Oh yeah, no, I mean that was
It's great. It's fantastic.
And that was the thing. So it's, for those of you not familiar, old spaghetti westerns named because they were filmed in fucking or you know, they were recorded in Italy by Italians.
Right. Italy, Spain, the landscape perfect
Yeah,
and they're known for being very different from Hollywood westerns of the time.
They are.
Like they're grittier, they're dirtier, they're more action.
They have
gunfire, blood. It's basically how things went in America. Censorship. You couldn't show someone pulling the trigger,
Jesus,
and someone dying in the same shot, essentially.
Damn,
because that was too violent.
Right. Well I
Sergio
mean, that
Leone.
Was...
Sergio Leone didn't know that. So he was just like killing people left and right.
That's awesome. Well,
he was completely ignorant to the fact at first. And he was like, I'm just going to do what I want. And then he makes these like amazing westerns and everyone loves them.
Oh, no, they're fantastic.
Back to Bert. He goes and shoots this B movie cheap western. I was thinking of a different one. But he shoots this B movie cheap western over in Italy and Spain. And he finds out it's the wrong Sergio. That's what he calls it in the story when he tells it. He's like, I find out it's the wrong Sergio. And so he basically they up for like 20 years later, the movie was so bad they only played it in airplanes. And Burt Reynolds is quoting as saying, they only play it in airplanes because that's the only theater you can't walk out of.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a little rough. I love the movie. I think Navajo Joe, I think, is Sergio Corbucci's finest. And it's actually up there on Quentin Tarantino's list of favorite movies as well.
It makes sense.
One of the movies honestly. That inspired Inglourious Basterds, actually. So
Jesus.
It's one of my favorites, too.
That's fucking funny.
But yeah, it's
what
an
a bizarre
interesting...
fucking... Like, I mean, like obviously, like the spaghetti western thing is like on its own a bizarre
Yeah, it's that's
thing.
Wild. Because they were just doing, they had no idea about American, like,
no.
Hollywood or anything. They were just like, I want to make this, and then they did, and then it blew up in America because it was so different from what American audiences were used to.
It wasn't, like, sanitized.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's actually, like, what the kind of cycle that we're in right now, I'd say.
Huh.
People are getting so used to a certain...
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, like, a certain formula
that
something new is coming.
I mean,
and
ideally,
it's gonna change Hollywood forever,
at least for another 30 years, and
yeah,
then the
yeah,
cycle starts.
Yeah, yeah, it's all a cycle. It all keeps going.
That's interesting.
But yeah, long shot. Yeah, Corbucci,
that's
Leone. Yeah,
hilarious. So, God damn it. Also, anyone, if you've not seen Leone's, I forget what the trilogy is actually called.
The Dollars Trilogy.
Yeah,
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, they are truly fucking ridiculous films, and they're
amazing.
They're great.
Yeah, they're masterpieces for sure. I'd say if
Like, even if you think you don't like Westerns, these are a different animal.
Yeah. My dad watches Westerns, so that's lame. No, come on.
No.
Don't say that. That's not what you do. That's not what you say.
No,
that's the wrong answer, buddy.
These are legitimately kind of like classics of actual film, which is baffling, but, you know. Also, right, Ennio Morricone on the soundtrack. Come on.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. He's, you know, they were actually in grade school together.
Fucking
Morricone,
course they were.
And Leone. Yeah, there's a picture up in, like, some Italian restaurant over in the old country.
Right.
Yeah, you know, over in the old country with this, like, class of youngsters, and it's actually written out Leone and Morricone were in the same. They grew up together, so that's really cool.
That's fun. I mean, it explains why pretty much all his films were scored by him, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and they work so well together. There's that, like, I think you need a kind of chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a director, you need a chemistry with everyone you work with.
I'd imagine.
You know, Orson Welles is always, like, people who've worked with Orson Welles were always saying that he was just, like, flirting with everyone. Like, man, woman, just, like, pets on the set, you know, because that's how he was. And you have to have that kind of chemistry when you're working with people, I feel like, on set to keep things interesting and to keep people going. Because... I know from experience, actors, they get it's repetitive work, and if you don't have fun on set, then people are gonna burn out, and it affects the scene. There's actually a scene in Long Shot where you can actually tell that it's real rough. It's because I was working my actors so hard. The end of the movie with Cannibal King, we woke up early in the morning. It was like eight or 9 o'clock, which maybe for normies, that's not early. But for us, that's like insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drive up and we live on between Maryland and Delaware. We shoot most of our films in Maryland and Delaware.
Okay.
And my actors lived in Delaware at the time. And so it's about a 30 minute drive from where I live up across the state line. And so I was a little late, which right off the bat, bad news, because the director is late to the set. So I get lost getting up there, because I decided I got up there a little bit early, and I was like, well, I'm just going to take the long way to my buddy's house I can get there on time. And I ended up being extremely late. They were calling me and they're like, where the hell are you? And I was like, dude, I'm lost. I'm on my way. And we get there and, Joe, the guy that plays Cannibal King, he has this massive amount of makeup on over his eye, because his eye was gouged out in the film,
right,
as you might remember. And in probably one of my favorite sequences I've ever shot, his eye was gouged out. And he's got just immense amount of makeup on. And he's like, he's tired. He's pissed off because he's got like all this paper mache and glue on his face. He can't see out of one eye. And I get there late, so he's even more angry. And then we make him drive to the set, because we had to take his truck, because all of us have small cars, and we couldn't all fit. So we make him take his truck to where we're shooting,
with
to the railroad tracks. With one eye. So he's upset that he's got to drive with one eye and, like, maneuver the back roads. And, like, we had to drive onto the railroad tracks.
Jesus.
So, like, we had to drive his truck sideways on the stones and stuff like that. And so he just wanted to finish the day up, and we were out there for, like, 3-4 hours maybe shooting that final scene with the colonel and
good
Cannibal
Lord.
King. Yeah, and so if you look at the scene, it kind of shows that he was kind of kind of burned out at that point, kind of
ready
pissed,
to be but, done. How long did it take you to film the whole thing?
With Long Shot, we were on the kind of the winter break schedule, because the same with Stalwart Dash, our first movie. We shot Stalwart Dash as soon as we all started college. So we were 18, 19. And for freshman and sophomore years of college, half our crew was away. They were up in New York. And so they were only around for Christmas break, winter break. So, like, we only had maybe a month to shoot these things. And we shot Long Shot, I want to say, in 5 days, maybe.
Damn.
5 days of straight, like, we'd wake up early, shoot until sunset when we have, like, the natural light.
Right.
Yeah, and then that's like all day. There were like 9 hour days. None of us were working either at the time because we were in school. So we had a lot of time to shoot, which is why L'Intruso has taken so long.
Everyone's grown up.
Yeah, basically. Well, let's see. Three of us aren't in school anymore, including myself. But we were all working different work schedules, but we still wanted to do this. And it was an ambitious project. The script itself is about 55, 56 pages long.
Christ.
Which it was a good chunk. I wrote it. I started writing it around maybe this time last year. So it's been in production from on paper birth for about a year now. Yeah. So,
That's pretty intense.
The shooting, I think if you ask any independent filmmaker what the hardest part of making a movie is, it's definitely getting everyone together.
Right.
To shoot a scene.
Oh, I'd fucking imagine. I mean, people are humans.
Yeah, it's scheduling. It all comes down to scheduling, and that's really we were lucky starting. we were lucky I was unemployed for the first 3 months of the fall because I was working seasonal, and I was able to grind out the final bits of the script because I was writing it all summer throughout my seasonal job.
Christ.
Which, boredom is the key to creativity. Oh. You know, if you're bored to tears at work, you're going to think of some crazy shit. And so I wrote this during the summer, and once my seasonal job was done, I was able to just completely grind, storyboard what I could. And then we started building the set in October and November and started shooting in November of last year.
Good Lord.
But it was a good thing I was unemployed and two people were at like part-time school.
Right.
Probably. And so schedules were able to match up pretty well. That's funny. We were able to shoot. We shot a lot really quick. And as time went on, I got a full-time-ish job. Right. And other people started working more and going to school more, and it was just more difficult to get everyone together. We were shooting like it was bad, dude. Long series of time, we were shooting like one scene a month. It was rough, but like
no shit.
Yeah, and a lot of times it was like okay, we need sunlight, you know, so we can only shoot from noon to we'd only shoot from like noon to six, which I don't know. I hear the sun's back for you guys.
Oh yeah, no, it's Great fucking North, it's so still doing its thing. The day star is alive. So before I was in IT, I was in advertising. I was in production for TV and radio.
Yeah, that's dope.
So we had
that's similar to what I'm doing right now.
Nice.
Professionally getting paid for.
That's the key.
I suppose, yeah, getting the monetization. That's
where it's at.
That's good.
No, we had during the winter, we'd have stuff where if we weren't shooting inside, we had like a 1 hour window to shoot somewhere. And like during summer, it's like you could do all sorts of dumb shit all day. And so a bunch of ads get produced during the summer because
it's like there's fucking eight hours for you guys. Yeah, because you guys got it's night half the year and whatnot. So, what do you do for daytime scenes?
You go inside or you shoot at like 1 p.m. and that's it.
Yeah.
Now we had, I'm trying to think, we had like, after I started doing IT, I was still like the on-call sound guy for a lot of stuff. So I'd end up at these commercial shoots in like stores that would go away in like a month because they're bad business ideas, but you'd be in them and you're, you know, like you see like non-actors, like I'm sure you've worked with non-actors at this point filming.
Dude, that's all I work with. I only work with non-actors.
My God. Just like, I've never seen so many people freeze up in front of a camera in my life. Just like,
luckily the people I work with for the movies that I do, they were,
right.
It takes a second, but the thing, yeah, camera, people don't like the camera on them.
No.
That's why I've never been in front of the camera.
Smart. It's a pro move, to be honest.
Yeah, pro move.
Yeah, no, even
I got a face for radio.
That's, yeah, fucking, don't we all, you know? No, it was when Oz and I were first trying to see if we could make YouTube stuff stick as far as, like, videos go. We were, like, in front of the camera, there's, like, a 20-minute barrier of time where we're both just, like, staring blankly, trying to figure shit out. Trying to, like, think of something to, like, to do. Because, like, normally, you know, when we're recording this, we're producing the show. It's like, it's, you know, we're in a room or we're on voice with each other and we're just, it is just bullshit and it's done and it's great and there's no, like, no unneeded, there's no, like, secondary pressure, which the camera, right, despite being just a thing, adds to any room.
You feel it, like, you feel its presence. That's something I had to get used to, being, like, no experience in front of the camera.
Right.
I had to get used to that in my directing style, basically, because I had to realize, like, I'm pointing this thing at my friends and I'm telling them to do stuff, but I have to understand where they're coming from.
Right.
You know, I'm just the guy holding the thing. It is basically like a loaded weapon, you know.
Right.
You're shooting towards them. And you shoot anything towards anybody, they're going to have a negative reaction towards it unless you warn them.
Right.
You know, that's basically what it is. So, it adds, like you said, you can feel its presence in any room. You know when you're being watched. You know when you're being recorded.
Right. No, it's legit. That's, like, legit a thing. Generally speaking, beyond, like, your, like, the spaghetti western stuff and, like, the, you know, the noir films, beyond L'Intruso, what else do you want to make?
Beyond L'Intruso.
Yeah.
Well, 73 minutes is a lot of time. Like, if you'd say, like, a week to shoot maybe 20 minutes, like, anyone that's worked in video production knows that a minute edited is, like, 3 hours on set.
Right.
So 73 minutes is a lot, and so we're all pretty tired.
I'd imagine.
We were in a little bit over our heads, maybe. I don't think I'd say that. I'd say we dove into the deep end.
Yeah.
We were a little freaked out at first, but now we're treading water pretty well. But
no fatalities, I mean, right?
Right. No one's drowned.
Yeah.
But we're all kind of wet.
Yeah.
And so I think we're gonna get out of the pool for a little bit, dry off. And then we'll wade back in.
Just extending the metaphor as much as possible, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. No, but seriously, I think we're... I have a handful of short films written out that are like 3 to 5 minutes long. The guys are down to take a couple weekends and maybe shoot some of this once we get things evened out. I think we're going to wait to release L'Intruso before we get back to work again.
Nice.
But... another good thing is, even without, I used to be kind of weighed down. Not, I don't want to say weighed down. It sounds mean, but I used to be kind of like, I rely on these guys. My group of friends that I work with.
It's a team thing.
I rely on them. Yeah, it's a team thing. But recently, I've extended reach into the local university theater group. So I'm hoping cast a line to some budding theater kids and see if they want to act in some shitty movies.
Hell yeah.
And hopefully they'll be down. I'm sure they will. I've met a few of them.
That's legit.
Friends with a few of them. So actually one of them is starring in L'Intruso. I wrote this script and the first criticism was, hey Trevor, you wrote this character as a woman. Don't you know we don't hang out with any women? And I said, I do. I am aware of that. Good. So you don't need to remind me. But I have someone planned for that. So we extended into the theater group, and she's a good friend now. She's part of the group.
That's rad.
Yeah. So hopefully get more of that, and we'll get some more theater kids working with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just subtly bringing them into the horrifying indie film scene.
Right, and the good thing is, they have, like, actor training, dude. Like, these guys, my friends I've known for the longest time, they're just dudes, you know?
Right.
Like, they're not actors. And, I mean, they're really good, because I've seen some bad actors. And I'll say my friends are really good at what they do for never, you know, not having any formal training.
But right.
The good thing about the theater kids is, like, that's their major, man. Like, they're paying money to be that person. So... I'm hoping like our quality goes up if we get more theater kids in.
You're just slowly tricking all these theater kids into like thinking this could be your big break.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then they get on set and they're like, and I'm like, we have to hurry this up or the cops will come. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, we're not supposed to shoot here. And then they look at me and I'm like, look, you're already here. You might as well do the scene, right?
Yeah, you want your $20 or not there, chief?
Oh, I don't pay cash. I just buy him a pizza. Oh, don't put any words in my mouth because I don't have that kind of money, Jake.
Oh my god.
Look, I buy pizza for everyone that works on our films. Actually,
that's fantastic.
Al on Twitter. He's our resident graphic designer artist. For those amazing poster work that he does.
Those are fucking tight.
Papa John's. Oh, they're the best, right?
Jesus Christ. Those are good. I mean, those are
super dope.
Like, they look like fucking legit old film posters, like old classic movie posters.
They make the quality look far, far better than what it is once you turn it on, which is fantastic. That's what the poster should do. So it's fantastic.
It's the trick. Yeah,
that guy's the best. I want him to fly up here for he's down in the Sutherlands of Florida. So I want him to fly up here for the premiere.
Is that the man. Luxury yacht or luxury?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Al Ray Luxury Yacht on Twitter.
Fucking yeah. Those are good as hell.
Yeah. The first one. I don't even think I. Yeah, jumping back to 2014 to Stalwart Dash, our
thousands
first
of years
film.
Ago.
Yeah, ages ago. He watched it and he made this like dope poster. Like he watched it and I was like, nice, someone watched it. And then he was like, dude, I also made this. And I was like, this is amazing. You made this poster. What? This poster is miles better than this turd that we put on the internet, but you like made it look amazing. And so I when we made Long Shot, I was like, look, you should make another poster for me. He's like, I'm already going to do that. And I was like, but I'm going to actually like pay you for it and buy you a pizza. So I was down.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a swell guy.
That's fucking that Long Shot poster. Yeah. No shit. I did not know that it was like, all 100 like that's fucking like I remember so like obviously you know the reaction to like that your the poster image was just like what the fuck is this
right
like
yeah.
I've seen this movie
yeah the actual for the Long Shot poster I was sitting in a psychology class just bored out of my mind and I was drawing like I normally do in educational courses and I doodled this design for a poster. And I was like, there's no way in hell that I can make this. So I told Al, I was like, I sent him the sketches. And I was like, can you work with this? And he said, oh, hell yeah, dude. And he just whipped it up in like a week.
Christ.
And for Lynn Truso, I was like, I want you to make a poster. And I just, all I sent him were things to inspire him. So posters from like the 50s and 60s, like noir posters. I sent him these images and I said, this is the style I want it to be in. Can you do this for a Papa John's pizza? Sponsor. Just kidding. He's like, yeah, I'll do it for a Papa John's.
And that's so fucking awesome.
He hand drew that whole poster.
Good Lord.
For a pizza. Yeah.
What a fucking hero.
What a hero. It's impressive. It's something else.
Does he do graphic design by like trade, I assume?
I honestly, I don't know. I think I might have asked him one time.
He should.
I know, right? Either he's going to school for it, or he does it by trade. It's one of those. Al, if you're listening, hit us up. Yeah. Let us know.
Fucking Christ.
Because people should be paying you more than what I do.
100%. At least two pizzas, for God's sake.
At least a large pizza.
Oh,
or
man.
Maybe one with pepperoni.
Woo! Look how fucking fancy territory.
Yeah. Maybe some breadsticks.
Oh man, that's fucking
get some of that.
He's gonna get a big head there, bud. Look out. So that's actually kind of wraps up our non-standard media podcast. Trev, thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you for having me. This has been really cool. Like I said, I love the show.
Oh, fucking,
love you guys. You guys are the best.
That's rad.
Thanks again for talking about what we do.
Fucking,
this has been fun.
No problem. Thank you for having us on a trailer, which is the most ridiculous thing humanly possible.
I love that trailer, dude. That's fantastic.
Fucking
you guys killed it.
The recording session for that was like, Oz and I staring at each other, not trying to psych each other out, but definitely like psyching each other out the entire fucking time.
Yeah, that was great. You guys have been great supporting us all the way. Like I said, just the fact that anyone that is in our immediate family or group of friends that we know locally watches anything we do is enough motivation for us to keep
just
creating content, dude.
Know how and that feels fantastic. Entirely. So
right, exactly. So we appreciate it, guys.
So everyone, where can we find you? Where can we find your stuff?
We have a website. As long as the website will stay up, as long as we have the funds to keep renewing the renewal fee every year. So you can find us argonautvideo.com. That's Argonaut, like Jason the Argonauts. That's my personal production thing, and Cheap Thrills Films is on there. You'll be able to find us there.
Nice.
As well as updates. Any work we do, I'll put it on the website with like behind the scenes photos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Twitter if you want. I just kind of shit post about movies. Video distortion. It's all good there.
You've got a YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah, it's Argonaut Video as well.
There you go. So. Right. Cool. So go check if you guys remember Longshot, or you guys didn't see Longshot when we talked about it, go check it out sometime. Go check out obviously his other work.
Yeah, I got some short films up there, some things I did in college. They're all up on the YouTube channel.
Nice.
So. It's a blast. It's a fun time.
That's fucking cool, dude. So you can check us out Wednesday for the gaming podcast, Friday for the dick kick, or Thursday if you're a backer. Patreon.com/thedamnwoods, $5 American gets you access to potentially the most groundbreaking political podcast on the internet.
It's pretty. Give these guys money.
Yeah. People. I mean, also give us money. Also, if you like a shirt, there are shirts. Teespring.com/the-damn-woods. Shirts. Buy a shirt if you want a shirt. If you don't want a shirt, there's a sticker. I believe in you.
Buy someone else a shirt. Buy someone that wants shirts. Shirts.
Yeah, buy them shirts. Anyhow, thank you for tuning in. Backers, thank you for backing. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. I love you.